You know what time it is. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast. Let me hear you. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No hot takes. No garbage. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No fake takes. No first takes. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
This is the Weekend Warrior Podcast presented by WTP Sports. I am your host, Pat Lane, as always. Today is episode 60. That makes it the David Andrews episode and a litany of Red Sox players. I know you wouldn't think it, but the amount of Red Sox players that have worn 60 and been pretty good is pretty long. Hanley Ramirez back in his first stint. David Murphy, Daniel Bard, Daniel Nava, one of my personal favorites, Ryan LaVarnway, and even the great Henry Owens have all worn the number 60 for the Red Sox. We have a great show on tap. Rich Keefe is on. He is from the Dale and Keefe Show on WEI every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6. He's also from the Hashtag Dork Podcast. After the interview with him, I have the 3-minute drill and this week in sports history. 3-minute drill this week. Whether you would rather choose the MCU or Game of Thrones. Yikes. Man, that's okay. Well, I'm going to try to keep it to 3 minutes as best I can, but you understand. Before we start the interview, I do want to remind you about Beard Brand. Beard Brand is a premium men's grooming company with products not only for your beard, but also for your hair and body. Do so a favor and head over to beardbrand.com and take care of yourself. I got to tell you, man, with that ad read, I seem to start like not great, but man, by the end, my voice is just silky smooth and unbelievable. If I were Beard Brand, man, I'd be awfully happy with me, but that's just me. Anyways, let's get into that interview with Rich Keefe. All right, so we're going to welcome to the show Rich Keefe. Rich is the host of the Dale and Keefe Pod radio show on WEI from 2 to 6 on Monday through Friday. He's the genius behind Kiefer Madness and Keefe's Keys. He is also the host of the Dork Podcast with Ryan Davey. He is similar to Tom Hardy in the fact that he was a radio personality on WEI and the Sports Hub. And he was also a standout tight end at Hobart College, of course. Rich, welcome on the show.
Wide receiver. I was wide receiver. I'm not big enough to be a tight end. I don't want people thinking I shrunk so much. I was a bad wide receiver. That's all that I was. But thank you for that intro. I didn't realize I was the mastermind behind so many great segments.
It's true. I mean, yeah, it's true. Right. Well, I don't know. The jury's still out on how Dale feels about Keefe's Keys, but
I think it's pretty certain he hates it. So I think it's pretty clear how he feels.
I feel like that makes it much better, to be honest with you.
I do think it's a little bit better when we don't agree.
So, well, let's get into what's going on right now. And again, I just told Rich off the air that, you know, originally we're going to talk Patriots, and then it's all NBA all the time. And, you know, Woj has taken over Twitter again. And so I guess the first most pressing issue, I know you are president of the New England Charter fan club, of the LeBron fan club.
Yeah, I love him.
And so I just wanted to see what your thoughts were about LeBron going to LA.
Well, first of all, I don't think people are making a big enough deal that he has bolted from Cleveland again. Like, people were just so prepared for it. They were so used to it. Like, after he lost in the finals, they were like, well, like, what do you want him to do? Like, you want him to stay in Cleveland? It's like, well, Cleveland's actually a better team than LA right now. Kevin Love is the second best player on Cleveland. The second best player on LA is what? Kyle Kuzma, I guess. Like, he's a nice young player, and they're in the Western Conference. Like, they're going to be terrible next year. They haven't added anybody else yet. All these other guys that we thought were going to go play there, like Paul George or Chris Paul or Boogie Cousins or Kawhi Leonard, none of those guys are there. So LeBron bolts on Cleveland for the second time, and then they sign, you know, everybody's been saying it, but the Island of Misfit Toys. They're like, let's bring in JaVale McGee and Lance Stevenson and Rondo. Like, their team is going to be must watch because they're going to kill each other by like the 20th game of the season. Throw in LaVar Ball with this kid there. Like, it is just absolute chaos. And everybody's just giving LeBron a free pass. They're like, yeah, he's going to LA. Like, what can you blame him for? And you're like, what? Like, everybody made a big deal about him going back to Cleveland. And you're like, okay, that's nice, but only if it ends there. If he goes again, like, we can't give him credit for going back. I'm certainly not going to give him credit for going back.
Right.
So I can't stand LeBron. I am happy that he went to LA, though, because he's out of the East. It's better for the Celtics. And he's just going to get smoked by Golden State and Houston and everybody else out there.
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, he's clearly punting this year. Because, you know, there's no way that team, even if they were able to acquire Kawhi, which I think they're going to, whether it's this year or next year, even if they did get Kawhi this year, they still have no shot against the Warriors, and they probably wouldn't beat even the Rockets in a 7-game series. And so, like, I think he's punting on this year, but he's trying to kind of build. I guess he's like, he's almost looking at it as like a second GM, where he's trying to build the next dynasty in LA, and so he can kind of play out his years there. Because you remember, he's 34, and he has no opt outs in his deal. So it's a 4-year deal with no opt outs. So that's straight through 4 years till he's 38, and you know, at that point it'd be 20 years in the league with a ton of tread in his tires. And so,
oh yeah, he's played more minutes than anybody over the last several years. Like, and it's not even close. Like, he's played like multiple seasons based off of all the playoff games that he's played. And it's weird for a guy that has made it to the finals 8 straight years, going in a direction where he's clearly not going to make it this year, despite some of the Vegas odds, which are out of their minds. Ridiculous. You know, having them be like the second favorite in the West, or just the second favorite overall, is insane. But in Cleveland, I still think the Celtics would have passed him by, and I'm sure that's what he was thinking too, as he was struggling to beat them without Irving and Hayward. But right. Cleveland for one more year gives him a better chance, and even Philadelphia gives him a better chance. Like, they would have a much better chance of getting back to the finals, but clearly he wants to go to LA. It sounds like his kid's going to be playing high school basketball up there. He probably wants to do more movies. You know, there is something about like the Lakers, you know, franchise and everything that's right. what they've done. So, just, you know, I can't believe, like, nobody's calling him out for it. Nobody's saying a word about it. And it's like, what is the good reason to go to LA? I don't know what it is.
No, you're totally right. I mean, realistically, it's just that he wants to go to LA. It's not like he has a better chance to win a championship, or it's a better team or anything like that. And they have some good young guys. You know, I'm not excited about any of their good young players. I guess Kuzma's fine, but like the rest of their young players are like Brandon Ingram,
okay.
LeVar, like Ball.
Lonzo Ball. I'm all set.
You know, it's whatever, dude. I do hope though, I need a reality show of the Lakers.
With the Lakers. Like if they could do Hard Knocks, if they could do a Hard Knocks NBA style and follow the Lakers around just for a couple of months until the whole thing implodes, like that would be worth it. That'd be great.
Oh, you need LeVar there though. LeVar's got to be at every practice. He's got to be on the sideline at practice. Yeah.
And then it's like Luke Walton's going to get fired, 10 games in, 20 games in? He's gone. He's got no chance.
Luke Walton was drafted 31 picks after LeBron. Like, right. LeBron's like, get out of my face, buddy.
I'm just getting a lot of respect for him. Yeah.
What a joke. So, anyways, that should be fun. If nothing else, it should be fun watching the Lakers implode while the Celtics are competing for a championship. So that'll be enjoyable. Okay. So, you did mention the Warriors. Boogie Cousins goes to the Warriors on a 1-year, $5 million deal. And, you know, I know you tweeted out the video of the
murders.
Yeah, the happy time. Yeah, that's what I was dying, because if he had come to the Celtics, man, Jesus.
Not everybody likes him because he's a bit nuts. He's been on a lot of bad teams, and I get that part of it, but he's so talented. Like, he's insane. Like, when he was healthy last year at the Pelicans, he was averaging like 25, 13, and 5. Guy's nuts. Like, he's a great scorer. Right. He's a big, there's not many good big men in the league. He's one of a handful of them. I love him, but he's coming off an Achilles injury. And so I'm sure the offers weren't crazy for him. By the sound of it, like, nobody was really offering him anything.
Yeah.
So he and his agent reached out to the Warriors and were like, hey, what about playing for the mid-level? Because it makes sense, because I know he says he wants to play at the start of the season, but if he can't, he can take his time. You know, you're going to get a deep playoff run, and he doesn't have to. Like, if he doesn't score 25 points per game, everybody's going to look at it and say, well, what do you want him to do? They got all these other scorers there.
Right.
So as long as he looks somewhat good, wins a championship, I think it was a genius move by him.
Absolutely. 100%. And that's the thing, is that, and not only that, but he also gets that, like you say, the rehab time. And then even when he comes back, they're like, you know, the Warriors themselves are like, dude, you know, let's play you 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. And we're not going to rush you back, because we don't need you to get into the playoffs. You know, we're going to be the number one seed no matter what.
Regardless,
yeah. So you get into the playoffs, and then you do your thing once you're there. It's the absolute best situation for him. And I actually think he fits better in Golden State than he does in Boston, because for him, at least, because if you put him in Boston, and look, not saying that Al Horford is better than DeMarc Cousins, clearly, right. Al Horford, DeMarc Cousins is way better. But I think the Celtics have a pretty solid starting five. So you're going to have to take somebody out of that starting five. It's probably Jaylen Brown. right? You take Jaylen Brown out, and then, you know, and then Hayward shifts to the two, and then everyone shifts down one, and Cousins plays center, or maybe you just take a Horford and, you know, and put Cousins at center. But
yeah,
someone from that decent starting five has to come out. Whereas now the Warriors are just like, oh, we had some schmuck play in center, and now it's going to be Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, so the guy who really loses out is like Andre Iguodala, you know, because right, even though he didn't start every game, like that was their lineup of death, and he would be out there, and that's right, how they would close games. And that's, they still might do that, like depending on how healthy Cousins is. Yeah, it would have been a great like problem for Brad Stevens to have, because he would have had to figure out, all right, who's staying in the game? Is Brown hot today? If he is, maybe he's still in, and you take somebody else out like Horford or whatever. But I would have been interested to see how they used him, but yeah, without him, I think the Celtics will be just fine. They should still cruise through the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, you would hope at least. I mean, barring something insane happening. I mean, last year, you know, they lost their two best players and still went to the Eastern Conference Finals and probably should have beaten the Cavs.
Right.
So two more guys. The Kawhi situation with him, man. He's come out and said that he won't play this year if he's in San Antonio, or at least that's the rumor. I can't imagine the guy sitting another season. However, the way it works in the NBA is just like whoever, you know, whoever gets him is who gets him. And I can see the Lakers saying, well, we don't care if he plays or not. What difference does it make? We're just going to sign him and he'll be fine. But would he really do that? And then when the Spurs then have to turn around, they're going to have to trade him somewhere. And who the hell is going to give anything for him?
Well, it seems like the latest you heard about him was the Clippers he could be interested in, or the Philadelphia 76ers, which would be, you know, a bad sign for the Celtics if he wanted to go there. Because one report says he wants to play with LeBron. Another report says he does not want to play with LeBron. So I can't figure this guy. I mean, he's got to be, you know, we were making fun of like Rondo and McGee and Stevenson, but add Kawhi Leonard to that list. Like, what to expect from him? Not playing last year with a quad injury for the Spurs of all teams. So
I know
I don't want to deal with it with the Celtics and those other teams that do trade for him. You got to be pretty careful, because if you give up too much for him, he could easily walk away in a year and then you're left, you know, with nothing. And then after that, if he sits out this year, going back to that scenario, who wants to pay him a ton of money? Like, right, what are you doing? You just sat out 2 years? Like, I'm not
right.
No, that sounds like a guy I want to give $100 million to. Like, no way.
And how could he not be fined for like the whole year? Like, if you tried to pull that crap in the NFL and they would just fine you every single game, Jack. Like, yeah, he's just going to not play.
It's got to be like a weird gray area, because he did have an injury, and like he had like a diagnosed like quad injury, and you're like, okay,
right.
But then he gets cleared in March, but he still wasn't comfortable to play, and you're like, well, what? Like it doesn't make sense.
It's just bizarre. Bizarre situation. I think, too, I think he's doing this because he wants more sponsorships. He wants his name out there more. He wants to be like, you know, all these guys have shoes and, you know, Paul George and all these guys. And it's like Kawhi looks at it and is like, nobody even knows who I am. You know, no one even knows what my voice sounds like. And so it's like, you know, but at the same time, if he's going to be like this, and
he's not playing, it's not helping.
Who the hell is going to sign him?
Right.
Yeah, so,
and I think in the NBA too, like you can really make the most of it. Like they make a big deal out of the LA market or like the New York market, but Russell Westbrook is pretty damn popular. You know, he's played his whole career in Oklahoma City, and everybody knew who Paul George was in Indiana and Oklahoma City. So if Leonard just played, and I don't know what his deal is with Popovich, like who knows? I'm sure there's another side to the story. I don't know what it is, but If Leonard wanted to be super famous, he could be. Like, basketball players are worldwide famous. Right. Like, he could be. He would have to market himself. He'd have to play, first of all, and he'd have to market himself a little bit differently.
Right. That's a good point. It's like the Patriots situation on steroids, you know, where there's a tension between Brady and Belichick, you know. So, and then the last question I have, NBA-related-wise, Jimmy Butler, would you – and I don't know if this would even be possible, but if Minnesota – wants to trade him. Now, supposedly he wants out. So is Minnesota, you know, they may look at it and say, we need to get him out. Do you think it works in anyone's benefit? Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, and then you got to make the money work because you're both over the salary cap. If they did a Greg Monroe sign and trade, 1 year, $12 million deal, it makes the money work and you're giving them an expiring contract and then you're sending them at least a lottery pick. Now, maybe two. I don't know. But you're sending them at least a lottery pick, whether it's the Sacramento pick next year or the Memphis pick. You know, I called in the show a few weeks ago and said that I thought the Memphis pick might even be better than the Sacramento pick.
Maybe
Sacramento's got some guys going, yeah. And so you know you don't know what that's going to look like, obviously. But you know which one, whichever one you decide to give up, you know, is that enough to get him? And would you give it up for him?
I would give that up for him. I don't. I'm not in love with Jimmy Butler because remember his name came up a lot, you know, last year, yeah. The year before he even went to Minnesota, and there was a lot of talk, you know, before they drafted Tatum, like that pick, like would you give that pick up for Paul George or for Jimmy Butler or I think Boogie Cousins, like all those names kept coming up, and Jimmy yeah. Butler was one of those guys for me that I thought he was like a good gatekeeper. It was like, if he's better than Jimmy Butler, I'll trade the pick for him. And if it's Jimmy right. Butler or worse, I won't trade the pick for him. But in that scenario that you laid out, Jaylen Brown has grown on me. I didn't love the pick at the time, but he has certainly outperformed what I thought he was going to be already. And so, mm-hmm. but if you're talking about Jaylen Brown, Rozier, Monroe, just for the sake of argument for Butler, right. and now you have a starting lineup of Irving, Butler, Hayward, Tatum, and Horford, yeah, you're better. Like Jaylen Brown could maybe one day be better than Jimmy Butler, but today he's not. And so if you're going to try to win a championship the next couple of years, yeah, I'd rather have Butler than Brown.
Right, right. And in that situation, you get to keep Smart as well, which I think is important.
Yeah, I'd like better than that. Rozier. Yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe not. I shouldn't say better than Rozier, but he's a better fit.
They're different, but I think he's more. Yeah, I think he's more important for the Celtics.
Right, right. So we'll see. It should be fun. I mean, like yeah. you say, the Celtics should walk into the finals, realistically. I mean, there's nowhere else in the East that really scares you, you know, unless Philly acquires a guy like Kawhi
right,
and
that's
he
the big one.
Goes back to what he did. You know what I mean? But beyond that, there's no one else in the East that can push them. I think, you know, Milwaukee's good, but they're at least a player away. I think Middleton showed a lot, and Giannis obviously is Giannis, but like, they're still another really good, talented player away from being able to compete with the Celtics.
Yeah, Milwaukee's got the one really good player. Toronto's got a good team. Not a great team, but a good team. Yeah, like Washington has a good backcourt. I mean, that's it. You know, that's actually, you know what? Indiana's not bad. Indiana's got a pretty good team. And they played well against the Celtics last year. So Indiana, I would never in a million years pick them to win a series against them. But that's a decent team, though.
Right. Right. Yeah. If they could get another guy there.
Yeah.
Now they got something going on. Right. So let's switch just quickly to the NFL. Edelman's appeal obviously gets denied. The NFL, I'll tell you what, man, they go to extreme lengths because I said, okay, Tuesday at 5:00, you know, the Edelman appeal ruling is going to come out because that's what the NFL does. Let's bury it. And all day long, they release this guy suspended and that guy suspended and this guy suspended and this guy suspended. And then at 7:30 at night on July 3rd, they were like, oh, by the way, Julian Edelman's suspension is upheld. And it's just like, are you kidding me? It's just so freaking NFL that hurts. And it's just like, my God, dude. But, I mean, I saw it coming the whole way. I mean, I'm sure you did too. Like, I figured there was no way he could overturn it.
No.
I talked about it last week on the show. Just the only way he could do it was if he proved that it was mishandled, which obviously he couldn't
Right.
And then so therefore, you know, it gets upheld.
Yeah, so, I mean, now the question is he going to keep pushing this thing like we've seen other guys do, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott or Tom Brady? I would guess that he has even less of a chance than those guys, and we know how that ended for both of them because there's a little bit more gray area with their stuff, whereas his, even though it's a little weird because they don't know exactly what he tested for, it flagged the test. So it's a drug test, and those guys – with the exception of like Richard Sherman, they all get popped. It's 4 games. See you later. So I think, unfortunately, that's probably what it's going to be for him too.
Right. I mean, the only way he would ever kind of progress it would be if he felt like he could prove that they had tampered with the sample. And then in that case, if you were in a court of law, the court of law says, well, if he didn't do this, this, and this, then the sample's thrown out because, you know, it wasn't handled properly. But obviously he couldn't do that. I mean, it is difficult when you're appealing to the guy that gave you the suspension in the first place. But, you know, if the court of law will sit there and say, well, the process wasn't handled correctly, and because of that, the sample's thrown out, you know, almost like, you know, if I commit, you know, a crime and you illegally search my car and find something, well, the search is thrown out. So it doesn't matter what you found because it was illegal to do that. And so that's the only way I see anything like that happening. But again, I think Goodell's smart enough to know if he can prove that, then I'm going to overturn it. He did it in the Sherman case because you don't want to go to court and lose if that's the case.
Well, then the other thing is, I don't know how the timing makes, how that plays out, but if he starts to appeal and then he starts the season, it's like one of those things. Right. Remember, we had the same conversation with Brady the whole time. It's like, all right, so what if all of a sudden week 12, they're like, all right, nope, you're suspended. And then you got to miss the rest of the regular season. Like,
right.
Especially with Edelman coming off the injury, like you want him playing game one, obviously, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if he comes back, a guy in his 30s off an ACL injury, and now week five, and like now come playoff time, he's only played 12 games instead of the 16. Like, I know it's a kind of a blemish on his career, but I think for the team, I don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm actually with you on that. I think that it's not that it's a blessing in disguise, but I'd rather have him for the last four instead of the first four.
Oh, absolutely.
The one thing to keep in mind, though, that I don't think really – I haven't heard many people talk about, week five is a Thursday night game. So he's not allowed in the facility until Monday morning.
Yeah, quick turnaround.
And, you know, I mean, he's been there forever. But, you know, but even still, you know, getting acclimated with the player, with the new guys and everything like that, you know, he has a short week. So it's almost like he suspended five games instead of just four.
But you can already see it too, though. His first game back, first play of the game is going to go right to him. 10 yards.
Good point.
Like, guaranteed first play right back to him. Right.
That is a good point. So, all right. So I think that's it. Sports wise, I do have two other things I want to talk to you about. So I had the 3-minute drill. I talk about, you know, people that listen to the show know 3-minute drill is basically 3 minutes on just anything randomly. Could be, you know, movies or sports or whatever. So, but this week I'm doing, the MCU versus Game of Thrones. So basically, for those of people, and I'm going to explain it again after this, but this is obviously, you know, a spoiler zone. If I had a, you know, a sweet goo sounder for the spoiler, I'd sound it right now, but I don't. Yeah. But yes, if you have not seen season 7 of Game of Thrones, if you have not seen Up to Infinity War, just, you know, skip over this a few times. But basically, the premise is that MCU or Game of Thrones, one of them you have to give up and never watch or hear about ever again. So you can't know what happened to the people that, you know, that went away, and you can't see any of the new movies. You can't know anything. Not forget about watching it. You can't even know what happens, right? Okay. You can't know what happens in Game of Thrones. You can't know, you know, about any of the spinoffs or anything like that. So
let me ask you this. Does my pre-existing knowledge, is that still in play? Like, so yes. Okay,
so you have
remember everything up to now.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which I think almost makes it worse.
Yeah, true. But then you really enjoyed both, so you wouldn't want to give up all of your experience with one.
Right, right.
So I can only pick one to keep up with the rest of the way?
Right. And this includes, by the way, like Game of Thrones, like there's a few spin-offs already scheduled, so you can continue watching those spin-offs as well, whereas you'd have to give up those spin-offs if you chose the MCU.
So I think... So I love both, obviously. I think I'm going to go with the MCU as the one that I would want to keep watching the rest of the way. I want to see what happens after Infinity War. I'm going to be seeing Ant-Man this weekend. They got all these sequels planned out.
Right.
Like, they might be tying Venom into the universe somehow. Like, they have so many movies still planned, and I'm fascinated to know where they're going to go with it. They're going to have like 3 movies a year still for the next several years. Yeah. Whereas Game of Thrones, I'm dying to see how it ends. But they only have 6 episodes in this final season. The spinoffs could definitely be hit or miss.
Right.
So I think it's there's going to be so much more. I'm guaranteed more hours of entertainment with the MCU.
That's a good point.
I think that's why I would pick that.
That's a good point. I think the hours of entertainment is definitely something you got to take into consideration. The only thing that is pulling me towards Game of Thrones is the fact that you have no idea what's going to happen.
No,
right? In the MCU, I feel like they're going to win. Like, you've got superheroes, like, they're going to win. Like, the superhero story isn't going to end with everyone dying.
But I don't think either everyone might come back, but everyone's not going to make it out of Avengers 4.
So I think you're probably right about that.
What you're doing is you're taking 6 episodes of Game of Thrones, which will all be awesome, including the endings. We'll find out who's on the throne at the end. So that's super important. And then you compare that to Ant-Man and the Wasp, Avengers 4, Black Panther 2, Spider-Man 2, Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange 2, whatever they ultimately like spin it off, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, like you're missing a ton of stuff. Plus, Daredevil season 3, Jessica Jones season 3, all
they're
that
stuff. They're not the MCU.
No, trust me, I know, but they claim to be for a second. But all that stuff, I think there's just too much of it. You know, there's they still have so many. Like, even though it feels like they can't go forever, they've planned this thing out for like years to come.
I do agree with you. I think that you're probably right about that. I will say, you know, the big thing for me with drones is that I could see a scenario where the White Walkers win.
And you think the Night King could be the one on the throne? Because I think that would be I was talking about this with my buddies the other day. Just Night King being on the throne at the end, and then it just like cuts would be incredible, I think.
So now, first of all, they did say they're going to be full length, like feature length episodes. So even though it's only six, they said like they could be all 2 hours long.
Yeah, hour and a half at least, right? Yeah.
Right. And so you're like, so now you're getting basically six movies, right? Now, obviously, it's not the same as, you know, the different stories, whatever they're telling. But how about this for the end scene? This is one of the things that I've been thinking of. Like, so they go fight the Great War, because obviously we know now Cersei isn't going to fight the Great War. Okay, so they go, you know, Jon Snow and Khaleesi fight the Great War. They lose. Okay.
Okay.
And, you know, final scene of the final episode, Cersei's sitting on the throne and the White Walkers are breaking in and they get into the throne room and it's just a close up of Cersei's face with like a little smirk on her face. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm on the throne at the end. It doesn't matter. And it just fades to black. And you're like, oh my God. Like,
that'd be great.
Because she's just the most psychotic person in the entire world, and she's just like
character. Yeah,
she's just like, I don't even care, like you said, I won, even if I lost, I beat everyone living, and so what, you know.
I just, the only thing that would make me mad in Game of Thrones is if they tried to have a happy ending, because that show does not have happy endings. And so if it's like a Jon Snow, Daenerys, Tyrion, like triple crown winner, I'd be like, out of here, get out of here. Everybody has to die. Like, everybody.
I agree with you 100%. And that's, you know, he even said, Martin said at the beginning, you know, or like, you know, at season four or something like that, he's like, if you're expecting a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention.
I hope. I hope he sticks with it.
Well, but now he's not in control.
It's out of his hands. You're right. But those other guys, they know what they're doing. Those guys know what they're doing.
Yeah. I can't wait, dude. I'm so excited. I can't believe we have to wait till freaking April. Although we're like more than halfway there. At this point,
that's true. We're less than a year out. That's a good point. So,
it's like brutal. But all right. So last question before I let you go. So I'm the Weekend Warrior podcast. So Weekend Warrior, for people that are first time listeners that don't know, is someone who, you know, competes even though they're not on a team. So they're playing ball with their friends, or they're in, you know, beer leagues or whatever it is, you know, hockey, basketball, baseball, softball, whatever it is. So your best Weekend Warrior moment.
Oh my God. Like, I'm definitely going to forget some, because I play everything. Whenever I get a chance, I will play it. I am getting so much worse than I used to be, though. Like, so much worse. I think, like, as soon as I hit like 30, I got significantly slower and weaker and everything else. I would say a moment that I'll go with wiffle ball. And we were playing 3-on-3. This is back when I was at the Sports Hub, and it was me, Adam Jones, and Josh Deering, who was our producer, against Felger, Bertrand, and Billy Lanny. We played 3-on-3 in the parking lot, and we played three games, or we played like a best of three series. So we ended up playing three games. We lost, but we had each guy could only pitch one game, or you could only start one game, right? And so Josh went, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but he went, he got shelled in like the first inning. So I went in the rest of the game, pitched a shutout from there on. Then I pitched the second game, however many innings we played, a complete shutout in wiffle ball. We had the screen and everything. I was throwing curveballs, knuckleballs. They couldn't hit shit off of me. I also homered in our win. So it was we were in the parking lot, so we hit it over the fence. It was a blast. So I guess that's one that comes to mind.
That's awesome. Now, when you play wiffle ball, do you have just the chair behind, or do you have like an official like screen behind?
So when I play normally, like at my house or like at a buddy's, we just have a chair. But this time, Bertrand made one out of like, he had like the piping and like the duct tape and like the whole thing. So it was like an official like strike zone square. It was pretty sick.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because those are the worst when, like, you know, when you throw over some ridiculous curve and it like goes by your face. And then hits the freaking, and you're like, are you shitting me? Like, that almost hit me.
Yeah. It's like goes behind you and lands in the chair. You're like, it's a strike.
Right. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Right. This one I actually told. I told this one a few weeks ago. But actually, by the way, I have to tell you, I knew you were going to go wiffle ball because your old profile,
Twitter avatar with a bat, yeah.
But I had my buddy's high school graduation party. We were playing wiffle ball in his front yard, and he lives on kind of like a main road or whatever. And we were down 3 runs in the bottom of the, I don't even know how many innings we played, 7th, 9th, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And he's up first, and he like legged out. Or actually, no, he was up with 2 outs. He got up with 2 outs, and he like legged out a single. So, you know, he had to get it back to the pitcher, and he just like sprinted and got to first. And I come up with the bases loaded, and I hit a walk-off grand slam.
Nothing better.
Out into the street, and the kid that was pitching had to go get the ball. So he like hopped the fence, got the ball, chucked it, and was like, fucking, I'm going home, and just walked home.
Nothing
he was
better.
Like, that's it, I'm out.
That's the sweetest feeling.
It's like it's wiffle ball, but who cares?
You know? It's competitive, no matter what it is.
So, right. That's it. So, all right, Rich. So before you leave, where can people interact with you?
A couple of places on Twitter at Keefe21 and then at Dork Podcast. I'm pretty much the one that runs the Dork Podcast Twitter, so you can hit us up there. Hashtag Dork is on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and WEEI.com. And then, like you said, on with Dale 2-6 on WEEI. So all those different ways.
Nice. Yeah, I got to say, I used to listen to Felger and Maz a lot, and I like Felger and Maz. I love your show. Thank you. It's fun. And it's not – you guys don't take yourself as seriously as they do. Like, they're just like –
I try not to for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. And also –
sports radio.
Right, right. And also, like, if you call Felger and Maz, it's like if you get through, number one, it's like an hour and a half wait to get on the air.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Like, you know, if you want to call and, you know, get on with you guys, it's like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, sometimes like a half an hour. But that's the way it should be. Like – The point of it is the interaction. And with Felger and Maz, you really can't get much interaction. They have like the same callers that call in every single day.
Yeah, it's like the same people. Like, and then they'll like leave those guys. Because I worked with them too. And like, you know, there'll be certain times where you think they're taking calls and they don't. And they'll just leave the lines on there. Where we also try to like let people know, hey, if we're not taking your call, we're not going to leave you sitting there for an hour. So we'll have the producer hop back on, be like, hey, they're kind of talking about something else. Or, hey, like we are going to get to you, like that kind of thing. Because, you know, you guys are taking time out of your day to give us a call too. So we don't want to just, you know, treat you like crap, like you're helping out the show. So I think it can help.
Yeah, I like it. That's good. And, you know, I mean, Felger too has those like, you know how he is. Like he's just, you know, but that's his shtick, right? But
it works for him, man. Yeah.
He has those like where like I've called before and I'll like make a good point and then he'll just throw in some random question that has like almost nothing to do with what I said just to like get me off balance and like change the subject. And I'm like, wait a second. Like I just made a good point here. Like what the hell? You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, he's not prepared for it. He's not going to talk about it.
Right. Exactly. So anyways, but yeah, listen to Dale and Keith for sure because it's a great show. And I appreciate how you have you coming on, man. It's your second time. So you're officially a recurring guest.
That's right. So, nice. Good.
And I will make one of the live shows at some point.
Good.
I've had some things come up those 2 days. I'm like, as soon as you posted the days, I'm like, seriously, like those 2 days, you know, but the next one hopefully will work. So,
well, hopefully, I don't know if we'll do one before it, but one of the ideas we have is Game of Thrones season, whatever it is, 8 preview.
Yeah.
I think I think we might do that. No, that's not till like April. So maybe we'll have one before that, but that's definitely one we want to do.
That'd be cool. That'd be fun. I'd clear my schedule for that one because I just, you know, so
lots to talk about there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So anyways, well, thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it. And no problem. Have a good night. All right.
Yeah. You too.
Okay. Huge thanks to Rich for coming on the show. Again, as I said before, you know, definitely check out the hashtag Dork Podcast and listen to him, you know, Dale and Keith, Monday through Friday, 2-6 on EEI. Again, they're just good guys and it's just more relatable. You know, they'll talk to you, they'll listen to you. You can actually have a conversation with them. And, you know, and so I really like them a lot. Definitely check them out. And again, thanks to him for coming on. As I said, his second time coming on. So he is officially a recurring guest. And I'm going to try to do the same thing with the rest of the Triforce. Mac and you, hopefully coming on in a few weeks. And, you know, maybe we'll have Marcus back on, maybe even Wesley. You never know. We'll see if Wesley will actually buy into it. But maybe we'll have Marcus on when basketball season comes back. You guys hear Marcus every week anyways with the intro and the outro and everything else. So, But let's get into our two segments. Again, it's This Week in Sports History, and this one here is a three-minute drill. Okay, before I start the three-minute drill, though, let me just explain to you what it is and what I'm talking about. Basically, this is the deal, and I already explained it, you know, to kind of everyone when I was with Keith, but basically what it is you have to give up one of them forever. So you already have what you watch, so we're presuming that you've watched all of the MCU movies, and we're presuming that you're up to season 7 of Game of Thrones. So you're totally caught up in both. It does not include Ant-Man and the Wasp, however, and obviously it doesn't include any of the Game of Thrones stuff. So if you're giving up the MCU, you're giving up everything. You're giving up every movie. It doesn't include the Netflix shows because even though the Netflix shows are Marvel, they're not technically in the MCU. And so you can still watch Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and The Defenders and Daredevil. I know you're super excited about Luke Cage season 2 and everything like that. So I know for you, you know, fans out there, rest easy. You'll be all right. Okay. But it does include every other MCU movie. That means, you know, obviously Avengers, but also any of the other ones, Captain Marvel, Guardians, Iron Man, so on and so on and so on. You get the idea. Game of Thrones, same deal. So it's this last season, obviously, and then any spinoffs as well, those are all gone as well. So the only ones you can have are, you know, is one or the other. That's it. Not only can you not watch them, you can't even hear about it. So you can't even know what happened. In other words, right, when, you know, again, this is a spoiler zone. So if you are not caught up, fast forward the next few minutes, okay? But, you know, when Thanos snaps his fingers, do people come back, okay? You know, are there people that come back, and who comes back, and how do they come back? We don't know. You'll never get to find out if you pick Game of Thrones over MCU. If you pick the MCU over Game of Thrones, you never get to find out anything that happens in Game of Thrones. So, and I'll get into that a little bit when we talk about the three-minute drill. But nevertheless, that's the idea, okay? So, now that we got it all set up, take us away, Marcus.
And now for something a little different.
Check, check, check. 3 minute drill. 3 minute drill, Sid.
Okay, so here's the deal, right? It's almost an impossible decision. You look at it and just say, how do you choose between the MCU and Game of Thrones? Because they both do such an amazing job at surprising you, at doing different things that you haven't seen before. Black Panther came out and was so different and so amazing and to not be able to watch something like that would be brutal, especially where all your friends watch it and, you know, people watch it. And it's one of the most watched movies ever. And Infinity War, it seems like everyone and their mother has seen that one. And so it's like you can never watch them ever again. And not only can you never watch them, you can never even hear about them ever again. So, again, if you're a fan of both, it's like I'd rather jump off a cliff, right? But, again, the question remains, which one do you want? So, obviously, the MCU, as Keith talked about, it's more content. Right? You already know they have planned movies. There's another Avengers coming out. There's another Spider-Man coming out. There's another Guardians coming out. Captain Marvel's coming out. Ant-Man and the Wasp. And so on and so on and so on. And the hits keep coming, right? You know, Black Panther 2 is probably going to be. So that's the thing is, you know, number one, there's a lot more content. Number two, it's a question of, well, yes, those guys are coming back. Obviously, there are more movies. But how do they do it? What are they going to do? Are they going to use the Pym Particle? Are they going to use, you know, the quantum zone and all this other things? Like, what are they going to do to bring them back? We don't know. And so that's definitely part of it. So it's a real tough decision. But on the other side, Game of Thrones, you know, what are we going to miss there, right? Is Cersei going to murder everyone? Is Jaime going to fight along Tyrion? And will he actually switch sides to Tyrion's side, right? Who's going to win the great war? Because again, remember, Game of Thrones is totally unpredictable. We have no idea what's going to happen. The bad guys could win the great war. And if the bad guys win the great war, do they then march into, you know, the Great Hall and kill Cersei and everybody else? And now every single person on the face of the planet is now a White Walker? And so, you know, it could end like that. And if it does, you miss that. And then you miss all of the, you know, the spinoffs that are coming. And again, I think there's one that's kind of almost like a prequel. There might be more spinoffs coming as well. So that's kind of the question there. Like, you're missing out on those different things. Now, I rewatched the last episode of season 7. I rewatched the last two episodes of season 7. They are just so ridiculously unbelievable. You know, the last scene where the dragon is blown down the wall and you're just like, what is going on? It just, you know what's coming now. And again, you have no idea what the outcome is going to be. So it's almost an impossible question. And again, it's one of those questions where you're like, wow, like what the hell am I going to do here? So if I had to choose, gun to my head, it's got to be the MCU. But again, I'm really torn about Game of Thrones, and I can't imagine not being able to watch Game of Thrones ever again. Because again, Game of Thrones is like one of my favorite... Oh, sorry, Bruno. Game of Thrones is one of my favorite shows of all time. I think it might be the best television show ever made. So to not be able to watch it anymore would be brutal. But again, that's really the question. And that's why I think the question like that is fun, because you have to give up so much on either side, no matter which side you choose. So again, I got to go with the MCU just like Rich did, but there's a case for Game of Thrones. That's for damn sure. All right, so let's get into this week in sports history, and again, we'll let Marcus take us away.
And now for something we think you'll really like. This week in sports history.
All right, so I'm going to go chronologically as always, except of course for last week when I didn't go chronologically, but that was my birthday. It was a different set of circumstances. So the first one I'm going to go was July 4th, 1905. The Philadelphia A's played the Boston Americans at the Hunting Avenue Grounds. The game featured Rube Waddell versus Cy Young, two Hall of Fame pitchers, and probably the most decorated pitchers in the AL at that time. Obviously, Cy Young is Cy Young. They have freaking awards named after him. Rube was a dominant pitcher at the time and is also in the Hall of Fame. It was actually the second game of a doubleheader, one in which Waddell came into the ninth and got the last two outs. Now, saves didn't exist at that point, but if they had, he would have gotten the save. Then the game went 20 innings. They, of course, both pitched the entire 20 innings. Rube throwing another 20 innings, almost 21 for the day. They both threw between 250 to 300 pitches. That's, you know, the estimate there, okay? In the 20th inning, Cy Young actually wasn't really even Cy's fault. He did hit a batter, but, you know, a lot of bad plays in the field. As a matter of fact, Rube Waddell is the guy that hit the ball that scored what was the eventual winning run. The final was 4-2, but that scored the go-ahead run, and then another run scored as well. But again, that was on an error. And so he did get the win. So now in the same day, he got a save and a win and pitched only, you know, about 21 innings. Actually, he only pitched 20 and two-thirds. So, like, I mean, whatever, you know. But pretty ridiculous day. So, anyways, that's July 4th, 1905. So the second one is July 4th, 1939, and that was Lou Gehrig Day at Yankee Stadium. He obviously makes his famous luckiest man speech, and the speech is a great speech, and it's fairly short. But I just think, you know, the stuff that he got is pretty hysterical. I think, just when you look at the difference in times. And so among the gifts he got were a silver service set from the Yankees front office, a fruit bowl and two candlesticks from the New York Giants, a silver pitcher from the Harry M. Stevens Company, which was the stadium concessioners, two silver platters from Harry M. Stevens employees, a fishing rod and tackle from the Yankee Stadium employees and ushers, a silver three-handled loving cup from the Yankees front office, or the Yankees office, I should say, a ring, a scroll from the Old Timers Association of Denver, a scroll from Washington fans, a tobacco stand from the New York chapter of Baseball Writers Association of America, and then he was also given a trophy from his Yankees teammates, and on one side of the trophy were the names of all his current teammates, and the other side was a poem that was written by a columnist. Really kind of a cool thing, but it's just funny that, you know, he gets all these random things, and obviously he would die 2 years later. And actually, interesting note here, Cooperstown actually voted to waive the waiting process so they could vote him into the Hall of Fame in 1939. So they actually voted him in the same year he retired, just for him, because of the circumstances, obviously, that, you know, that were with him. So, you know, fascinating story. Obviously, the luckiest man speech is one of the most famous speeches of all time. And maybe the speech itself isn't famous, but, you know, him talking and the echoing behind it is, you know, one of the most iconic images and sounds, you know, ever. And so really interesting situation, obviously ALS and Lou Gehrig's disease and everything like that. And so everything that he stood for, but, you know, pretty cool day. And the last one is July 4th, 1947. Larry Doby becomes the first African-American player in the AL when he plays against Chicago White Sox. Jackie Bradley played in his first game only a few months later in April of 1947. So I think Jackie was signed in 46 and ended up playing in 47. I think he was signed in like December of 46 and then obviously didn't play until the season started in 47. But yeah, Doby was the first one to play in the AL. He was a seven-time All-Star who finished his career with over 250 home runs and a .283 average. And he was eventually elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame by the Veterans Committee in 1998. I think he died, passed away in like 2003. So he was still alive when he got inducted in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, pretty unbelievable story. Obviously, you know, first African-American player in the AL is legitimate. And I think he's a name that a lot of people don't know. But a seven-time All-Star, 7 years in a row, and he put up some really incredible numbers. He definitely had some down years in his career, but those seven straight years, he was an All-Star seven consecutive seasons. So those seven straight years as an All-Star, he was pretty damn good. And so, you know, definitely deserved a spot in the Hall of Fame for sure. And that's it. That just about does my show. Again, want to thank Rich for coming on. You know, as he said, follow him at Keefe21, at Dork Podcast. Really appreciate him coming on the show as well. And again, obviously, Dale and Keith from 2 to 6 Monday through Friday, from 2 to 6 on WEI. Also want to give a quick shout out to his Triforce member, Marcus, from the Boxers Podcast, for the intro song, the 3-minute drill, and the This Week in Sports History as well. All those sounders, pretty awesome. And again, he does such a fantastic job. Make sure you listen to him and Wesley break down a movie a week. On Mondays, it's a spoiler-free movie review, and as they explained on there, they do a lot of movies that people haven't seen to try to get you to watch movies, right? This week they did The Death of Stalin, and I was like, what the hell was that? Why am I going to watch that? And after listening to the review, I was kind of like, oh, maybe I will watch that. So anyway, it's just something to keep in mind. Also want to give a quick shout-out to M.Dot and Core for the outro song. M.Dot is at M.D.O.T. Boston on Twitter and Instagram as well, and Core is at K-O-R-E of E-M-S. So check them out. M.Dot's got a new album that's dropping fairly soon. Some big names on that. So, be on the lookout for that. And for me personally, I am online, or I'm on Twitter with Weekend Warrior. I'm on Twitter, Weekend War Pod. So again, it's no E. So it's just WKNDWARPOD. And then my personal one is at WTP Lane. So either one of those would be fine. My DMs are open. You can DM me anything, shoot me a question, you know, an idea for the show, anything like that. You know, just let me know if you got anything going on. And again, it's sports, right? Like, it's sports talk. The whole point is that we're supposed to have conversations with each other. You have a take. You don't agree with my take? That's okay. That's all right. Tell me why. Right? You have a take that people don't agree with? Send it to me and let's talk about it. What the hell? Why not? Okay? So anyways, appreciate it. And, you know, if you can download, subscribe, and review on iTunes, I'd be forever in your debt. So anyways, thanks for coming along for another week. Appreciate it. Hope you had a great 4th. And I will talk to you next week.
Simmons, no timeouts. You gotta go. Williams, 3. Yeah!
Show, bro. Put the game upside down like a strobe world. We get Warriors, it's a podcast. What you call a commentary, kid, I call trash.
Warriors, come out to play.
We get Warriors, it's a podcast.
What you call a commentary, kid, I call trash.
Hey, yo, WCP. We Warriors, especially on the weekend. Looking for that sports talk, this is where it be, man. Breakdowns on your favorite teams and all that. Hear about the starters long before the ball snap. You can call Pat or go ahead and call Mike, cause we here all night, no time to stall, right? 2 seconds left, clutch shot, it's go time. Knuckles on the O-line, watch the losers go wine.
Turn me up on that radio dial. It's been a while since I played, but I'm here with a smile. I'm taking jump shots, get them in and I'm out. I'm breaking records like Bill Russell. Kid has got muscle, being polite when I'm patting this mic. You see the city of champs coming to victory dance. Buddy, it's radio talk, so turn it up when it's on. We're gonna listen and rock to what it is that you want.
Warriors, y'all need to tune in. This is show, bro.